Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
This program was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
This is Love Sport Radio. Miles Blumsom here for the Southampton Fan Show. Tottenham fans, if you're listening going, wait a minute, what's going on? Head over to Love Sport London. If you're in London, you switch your DAB radio. If you're outside of London, you need to go online onto Love Sport Radio or use the Love Sport Radio app and switch over to Love Sport London. Charlie Hawkins is still in doing the Tottenham Hotspur Fan Show. This is the Southampton Fan Show now, though, through until 8:30. Myself, Miles Blumsom, joined by Tom Parker from the Saints FC podcast. Tom, good evening. How are you today? You must be well happy after the weekend.
Oh, absolutely delighted. What a result. A result that few people saw us getting, but absolutely thrilled.
Yeah, revenge is the best way to put it. 9-0 at St Mary's earlier in the season to go to the King Power and win 2-1. What a relief. Were you a bit worried going into the weekend in terms of looking back at that 9-0 result? It must feel all that sweeter.
Yeah, it's funny. I think the team have come on so far since then. It's completely revitalised. They're almost a different team. Six of the players that started the 9-0 started against Leicester at the weekend. So it's still a significant part of the team. But all credit to Ralph Hasenhüttl and to the players for not only beating Leicester, but also beating Leicester at their own game with sort of real aggressive pressing game, fast counter attack, and in the end, comfortable winners against, on paper, certainly second, third best team in the country right now.
Does part of you want to thank Leicester for the 9-0 drubbing? Because that was like the rock bottom that Southampton almost needed to now turn around and go on this incredible run that's left Southampton up in 12th in the Premier League and now 7 points clear of relegation. That didn't look possible going into Christmas. The 9-0 drubbing at Leicester, it was the catalyst. Does part of you want to go, thanks, Leicester, that's actually helped us out?
I think there was a very good article by this by Carl Anker from The Athletic this week, and I think he nailed it, which was actually it wasn't the Leicester game. The Leicester game was a freak result against an exceptionally good attacking team. We were down to 10 men for 78 minutes of the game. It's a freak result. The game that really, I think, was the worst for Southampton and probably for the fans was Everton at home. Everton were one place above us in the table at the time.
Yeah.
It was the first home game after the Leicester game. And that was where you really wanted to see, Everton had this terrible away record. Marco Silva was on the brink of getting fired. We were at home. That was where you'd expect Saints to come out and really right the wrongs of the 9-0, and they didn't. They lost 2-1 at home. It was a terrible performance. And I actually think that was the catalyst. And fair play to Ralph Hasenhüttl. He's come out and he said publicly, that he wasn't at the standards that he would expect, and therefore that filters through to the players. But you have to give the players credit to lift themselves up, to go back out there. Players that have come in, like Jack Stevens, Stuart Armstrong, doing fantastically well. Lots of unsung players in that squad. And, yeah, they're really working hard for each other.
As well as giving the players and Ralph Hasenhüttl all the credit, you've got to give some credit to the owners and the management at the top at Southampton. Because a lot of owners would, after a 9-0 loss when you're hovering around the relegation zone, would have pulled the trigger on maybe a change in manager, maybe firing Hasenhüttl. But they've known that the project was going to come good, and they've stuck by the man. And it's showing, it's almost an example to some other Premier League owners that if you show a little bit of faith, all can work out well in the end.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. And the Saints owners, the Gal family, they come in for a lot of stick. So it's only right that people give some credit when they get things right. You know, the easy thing to do would have been to fire Ralph. It was going into a November international break, which is traditionally a bit of a firing squad for a lot of Premier League managers. But no, they stuck at it. And I think Saints have realised, I hope, and I think the fans, the overwhelming majority of fans know this, that Ralph is probably a better manager than we would expect to get. He's a long-term project. He has his own style. He's a passionate believer in the power of young players and the power of players that maybe aren't the most biggest names, of players that work hard for each other. And he has absolutely turned it around. And you're right. I mean, if you think about it, what would we have done? You know, we'd have fired Ralph. We'd have probably ended up with a Moyes or an Allardyce, maybe at best. No disrespect to them, but there's a reason why, you know, David Moyes goes into West Ham on an 18-month contract. It's because they're not sure if he's someone that they're going to want around for too long. And fair play to Saints and to Ralph and the players for sticking it out and turning around. And now, you know, we're really looking up. It's totally insane to think about it. But we go into this weekend's game, pretty confident we can beat anyone.
Absolutely. And it has been an incredible turnaround. Southampton fans, if you want your opinion heard, 0208 70 20 558 is the number. Get us on WhatsApp. Send us a message if you've got a question for myself or for Tom Parker as well from the Saints FC podcast. Let's talk Danny Ings. 10 goals in 10 starts. That's England form, isn't it?
It has to be, doesn't it? I mean, with Harry Kane, I mean, we watched Harry Kane go off at St Mary's and thought, well, he always scores against us, so I was kind of happy he was going off. But at the same time, you never like to see a player get injured. He doesn't look like he's going to be back, possibly before April, according to Mourinho.
Yeah.
So you have to look, who else is it going to be? Rashford is a different kind of player, sort of plays in coming off the wing. Greenwood is probably too young. Callum Wilson is not really doing it this season. Vardy is ruling himself out. So that does kind of only leave Danny Ings as the choice for an out-and-out centre-forward. And you have to say he's earned it. His form is incredible. He has scored, I think, 52% of Southampton's goals this season. He has scored in more games than any other player in the Premier League this season. He has 10 in 10 coming into this weekend. I was at Molineux to see him score against Wolverhampton earlier this season, so hopefully he can repeat that feat. And what a great story, you know, a player that two very bad injuries, one on each knee, worked his way back, goes back to the football team. He supported as a boy. We grew up 4 miles away from St Mary's, where his family go. And, you know, he's absolutely loving it. And there's going to be a piece at the weekend on Soccer Saturday talking about, an interview with him talking about how happy he is. You know, and he's actually, it's just a very simple life where he goes walking his dog, plays his guitar, studies for a degree and plays football. And, you know, what a great guy. And he seems to be thriving off the pressure and thriving off the adoration of the fans.
Yeah, absolutely. Injuries is something that I want to talk to you about with Danny Ings, because he has had two really bad injuries and also quite a few niggly injuries as well. Hasenhüttl's managed him really well this season, I believe, especially over the Christmas period. He wasn't overutilised. He wasn't starting every single game. He was coming off the bench and scoring in some games. Does it worry you a little bit if he goes to England, if he gets called up for the next squad, goes away on the international break, as a different medical staff, a different team managing his injuries and managing his schedule? Do you get slightly worried that he goes away and he gets a knock?
Oh, absolutely. And I think, a lot of Saints fans are worried about that. That is the catch-22, isn't it? You don't want to see players, you know, that you absolutely rely on go and play in games for England. You know, if you look at Harry Kane. I see a lot of Spurs fans are angry about that. Harry Kane plays, you know, full 90 minutes, leading the line for England in games that England are winning 6-7-0.
Yeah.
And, you know, there is no doubt that Harry Kane, like Michael Owen before him, is experiencing wear and tear as a player. And obviously, as a Southampton fan, my main priority is Southampton. It's not England. And I don't want to see Danny Ings get injured. But having said that, yeah, Danny Ings' injury story is, yeah, a few niggly ones, two very bad ones, but also, touch wood, these aren't very bad ones on the same knee.
Yeah.
You know, he was just very, very unfortunate to have the same thing on both knees. So, fingers crossed, look, the guy deserves his chance. He's got one cap. It would be criminal if he wasn't in the squad, and it would be criminal if he didn't get his chance. And you know what? If he does go, fair play to him. He deserves it. And I think, you know, he'd go with Saints fans' best wishes. And also, sends a message to players that, you know, if you do want to, you know, if you do leave a team like Liverpool, if you sign for a team like Southampton, you play regularly, the door to international recognition isn't closed.
Yeah, absolutely. He wasn't getting much of a game at Liverpool. Do you think the team's been set up more to his strength, or does he just thrive in the system and it's just a great signing?
Well, I think it's the way that Southampton play the game is actually surprisingly simple. If you watch it, you'll see that. From the best, I mean, Ralph is very open about this. The best playmaker in the world won't create as many chances for you as if you can win the ball in the opposition's defensive area.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's what Southampton thrive on. They thrive on a sort of chaos of Danny Ings. If you look at the two goals against Liverpool and Tottenham this year, just closing down goalkeepers. They thrive on that chaos, and they thrive on getting teams to have to play out of position. And, you know, Ings exemplifies that. I think a lot of Saints fans were worried when we signed him for what is, you know, big, big money for Southampton. I think it was £16-20 million, something like that. They were worried about his injury record. But even last season, yeah, he still managed to get 7 Premier League goals for Southampton. So, you know, he exemplifies that way of playing from the front. And then, you know, there are other players that are, you wouldn't argue, equally important, perhaps even vital. Players like Shane Long, you know, who don't get the credit. But Shane Long enables Danny Ings to be the footballer he does by creating the space and causing the problems. And that's one of the wonderful things about watching Southampton. The sort of starting 11 that we have is a very unselfish, very workmanlike, but very kind of dynamic team to watch. And it's a really exciting football.
Yeah, the performance against Leicester, especially compared with the last time we played Leicester, was absolutely fantastic. There was almost a 12th man, VAR. It took something away and then it did give you something in the game. Taking away the penalty, Shane Long going down under a challenge but being ruled offside marginally. And then, of course, Johnny Evans heading in an equaliser right at the end of the game in the last minute, only to be ruled out again for a marginal offside. You must be overall, out of the two, you must be happy with VAR from the weekend.
Well, happy with VAR for the season. If you look at our season, we've consistently benefited from VAR. Now, you know, we had, if you look at we were in a terrible run, but we won two games early this season, away at Sheffield United, away at Brighton. Both those games, the opposition had goals disallowed that probably would have stood were it not for VAR. So, yeah, Saints love VAR. And I think both of those decisions you talk about, the Shane Long penalty and the Johnny Evans header, those are right decisions. Yeah, there's no doubt about it. But, you know, Shane Long was offside by a fraction, but he was offside.
Right.
And Johnny Evans was offside by, quite a distance. But, you know, if you think about it, I'd like to, rather than, you know, with the Johnny Evans one, you have to give credit to Southampton's defence, which has been revitalised with Jack Stevens at the back. You have to give credit to, they play the line and they get the calls right. And the reason why people like Johnny Evans, who's an excellent footballer, is offside is because Southampton get it right in those fine judgments, you know, judgment calls, and that's something they weren't doing at the start of the season.
Yeah, that's very true. Jack Stevens has come in and he's playing really well. Now, he's a player that some Southampton fans that I talked to at the start of the season weren't that convinced on. He's one of the unsung heroes in this Southampton comeback. Danny Ings is getting a lot of the plaudits, but you look from the defence forward, and to have a base of Bertrand playing well as well and Jack Stevens playing as well as he is, that's how you build a winning side, isn't it?
Yeah, it's consistency. I mean, we for various reasons, injury, lack of form, perhaps Ralph not quite knowing what his best 11 was, we chopped and changed our back four, we played a back five, we did all sorts of things. We played right backs at left back, left backs at right back, we played central midfielders at left back. We did all sorts of things towards the start of the season, but there's no doubt the real value has come with a settled back five now. Bertrand, Bednarek, Stevens, as we say, Cedric on the right, and McCarthy in goal. And that's the sort of team that's the sort of back five that came in after the Leicester game. Absolutely. They'd have been much better for it.
Absolutely. OK, up next, we're going to get the opposition view. Southampton taking on Wolves at 3 o'clock on Saturday. We're going to be talking to Sam Cook from the Wolves 77 Club podcast. Again, Tottenham fans, you need to switch over to Love Sport London if you want to hear the Tottenham fan show. This is the Southampton fan show on Love Sport Radio.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Giving your team a voice. Love Sport Radio.
Miles Blumsome here on Love Sport Radio for the Southampton fan show, joined by Tom Parker from the Saints FC podcast. This weekend, big game for Southampton at home at St Mary's against Wolves. 3 o'clock kickoff on Saturday. We're also joined by Sam Cook from the Wolves 77 Club podcast. Sam, good evening. Welcome to the show.
Good evening, gents. How's it going?
Yeah, really good, thank you. The game this weekend, Wolves have hit a little bit of a stumbling block over the last couple of weeks. You're confident because Southampton are one of the form teams in the Premier League?
They are, yeah. Looking at the last five, it's 1-4, draw 1, I think, isn't it? Which is incredible. And actually, if they beat us, they'll go level with us. But they do have an awful goal difference, so we do have that over them. But no, it should be a good game. We're looking forward to it. I think we're due a win. If you look at our last five, obviously winning 2, losing 2, drawing 1, so see what happens. But yeah, I think we'll take it in our strides. We're starting to look a little bit tired. I think people were saying Europa League exploits at the beginning of the season, we're going to have an impact, and they didn't at the beginning of the season, but it's around now, because I think we played our 38th game against Manchester United last night this season, which is an incredible amount of games. So we'll see what happens.
Tom, is Ryan Bertrand the most important player for Southampton this weekend? Because he'll be the one tasked with keeping Adama Traore quiet.
Yeah, I think so. He's a tremendous talent. I don't even know if anyone in the Premier League has the pace to even try and keep up with him. But it's not only the pace, it's the power and the strength that he has as well. So, yeah, Bertrand, I think, will be in for a busy afternoon. And I think it'll be interesting to see how Ralph organises the team. Will he try and accommodate another player specifically to combat Traore, or will he just trust these players to go and do the job and hope to beat Wolves on our own terms?
Sam, speaking of Traore's form, our team's starting to double up on him, and are you noticing gaps elsewhere where if it didn't go to Traore as much, you might be able to exploit inside?
It's a tricky one because they do that, and it's sometimes three players that are on him straight away, but he just shrugs them off and gets on with it and puts a cross into the box. So, I mean, the problem for us has been the person on the end of the cross. So it's been a little bit of a dip in form sort of at the turn of the year for Raul Jimenez. I think he's almost in burnout mode now because he played the World Cup in 2018, had a great season with Wolves last season, played in the Gold Cup for Mexico, won that with them in the summer, and has been straight back into it. And like I say, his 38th game of this season last night. So I think he's in sort of burnout mode, but we haven't got anybody on the bench or anyone in that squad that's going to come in and take his place. We've got rid of Patrick Petrone, who actually started against Southampton, the return leg back in October. So I think as much as keeping Adama Traore under wraps and trying to nullify his threat, it's about getting the right players for us in the box.
Now, the loss against Man United can't have been pleasant, especially with the stupid new handball rule being in place, VAR taking the goal away from Raul Jimenez. He's not quite had it all his way in the last few weeks, Jimenez. He's a key player. Are you looking for him to come back into form?
He's a massive player. You know, his goals and assists are up there as the best stats in Europe, and he is... a class act. I wouldn't go as far as world class. I think it's banded around too much, to be honest. I think there's only two players at the moment. I think you know who they are. But he is incredibly integral to everything that Wolves do. And when he doesn't play, you can tell the difference straight away because it's as much the work that he does in holding up the ball and laying it off as it is getting into the box and getting some sort of foot or head on to the end of a cross, which is obviously what he's there to do. But he is an integral part of that Wolves side, and when he's not firing on all cylinders, neither is Wolves.
Tom, from a Southampton perspective, how would you like to see the team set up against Wolves? Are there any weaknesses that you know of that you'd like to see the team exploit?
Well, not hugely. But I mean, Wolves, I was very, very impressed at Molineux. You know, real quality throughout the team. I think one of the hopes as a Southampton fan is that, you know, as you said, Wolves will be tired. They've played a lot of games this season, played a big game on Wednesday night. We're fresh coming out of a fantastic result from last weekend. And hopefully, if we can play our high press, high energy football and stop Wolves playing theirs, it'll be a good result. But I think, you know, Wolves have real, real quality. And what the manager has done there with such a small squad is to be hugely admired. And Raul Jimenez, you know, is a classic example, is a fantastic player. So, but, you know, I'm confident that we've got enough in our locker to beat Wolves on Saturday. I just think we need to play our game.
Sam, if Southampton do win, they go level on points with Wolves, which a few weeks ago seemed completely out of the picture. What's the threat from Southampton? Where do you think the Wolves really need to step up to keep this team out?
That man, Danny Ings, isn't it? You know, the form player, he scored against us at Molineux. He is in a rich vein of form. Always liked Danny Ings. I think he's, you know, he was unlucky at Liverpool, wasn't he, with injuries, and he's picked it up again. But to be honest, we have this incredible record of former players scoring against us. So if Shane Long's firing all cylinders, then I reckon he'll grab one as well. But I think the one difference maybe from the game at Molineux is that Willy Bolly played that game, and he's been missing since sort of November time. And he's been a rock at the back. And when you take your best defender out of any side, they're going to struggle. So I think balls over the top, Connor Cody got found out Sunday league defending against Manchester United on Wednesday night. And if he does that again, especially with Ings and his pace, and Shane Long as well, he's not slow, is that, you know, that ball over the top, exploit the spaces, exploit the high press, and, you know, you're onto a winner. However, it does seem that Wolves under Nuno, historically over the last 2.5 years, have always come back and got a result after a poor result. And the poor result this week was against Manchester United. I think arguably it was a poor result against Newcastle the last time out in the Premier League too. So I think it's going to be a great game. There's going to always be goals, because I think out of the 22 games we've played this season in the Premier League, we've gone behind in 17 of them. So that tells you something.
Tom, do you agree there in terms of Southampton's threat? Danny Ings has been the biggest threat recently, but yeah, Stuart Armstrong scored at the weekend. Where else can Southampton hurt Wolves?
I think you're absolutely right. That ball over the top is something we are very, very happy to do. One of Southampton's tactics seems to almost give the ball to the opposition centre-backs in the hope they'll, you know, pop the ball up long, get an opposition centre-back or full-back to head it out, and then try and win the ball high up the pitch from that. I think absolutely Shane Long is a vital player for Saints, Nathan Redmond, and you mentioned Stuart Armstrong, who has come into the team and I think is almost the linchpin of that team in terms of just doing the sensible thing, using the ball well, using it economically, not being too clever. And yeah, he's been a revelation since he came in. So I think that's how, you know, if we're going to get something from this game, and I hope we will, I think that ball over the top, normally from Jack Stevens, is the one we'll try and look to do.
Are Southampton fans still looking down the table, or are you starting to look up at teams like Wolves? 7th, 3 points ahead, with a win you go past them. Is it hard to not keep looking down at relegation, even though there's 7 points difference, Tom?
I think we will look downward. I think, you know, most teams probably from 8th or so down in the Premier League will be looking downwards. But if I look at our next fixtures very quickly, Wolves at home, Palace away, all right, Nightmare, Liverpool away, then Burnley at home, Villa at home, West Ham away. You know, all of us saying that, you know, we're wishful thinking here, but apart from Liverpool, you'd hope that we'd get a point in at least each of those games, and possibly 3 in the majority of them. So, yeah, I think we'll know a lot more. So there's 5 games. I think some Saints fans are saying we need 3 more wins to sort of almost guarantee safety. I'm not sure it's going to be that easy, but yeah. Yeah, it's nice to have a different problem compared to the problem we had at the end of October, that's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And Sam, for Wolves, 7th in the league, 3 points off Man United, but like we said, 3 points behind is Southampton in 12th. Are you looking up and thinking Europe, or because of the sheer volume of games and tired legs, are you looking down towards teams like Southampton and worried that they are going to catch up and overtake you?
Do you know what? We've just recorded our podcast tonight, and the guys made this point, which was 31 points in January. That's a couple more wins and you're safe from relegation, and then anything else I think is a bonus, because we're still in the Europa League. Espanyol up next in February. It's a winnable game. They're doing terribly in La Liga, and it's at that point you go, actually, we're at the two main domestic cup competitions now, which gives you some time off, probably only with the FA Cup, but also gives you a chance to then go for the Europa League. And how Wolves play football under Nuno completely suits that European style. Now, if you throw forward to getting, I don't know, 50 points like we did this season, if it's even 45 points by the end of the season, I'd actually take 42. But if you put your effort into winning the Europa League, actually in the second season back, we've qualified for the Champions League. If that doesn't work out with the group stage, you automatically fall into the Europa League way. So it guarantees you some form of European football into 2021. So actually the outlook looking forward to Wolves now isn't about getting into a European qualifying position this season, because we've got the perfect opportunity to do it by winning the competition that we're trying to get into.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, just quickly before we finish, Sam, score prediction?
5-0 Wolves.
Wow, okay, that's huge. Tom, score prediction?
6-0 Southampton.
6-0 Southampton, there you go. Goal difference, Southampton.
There you go, they've done it at Molineux before.
We look forward to it. Hey guys, thank you very much. That has been the Southampton Fan Show on Love Sport Radio. Myself, Miles Blumson. Thanks very much to Tom Parker from Saints FC podcast and Sam Cook from the Wolves 77 Club podcast.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts NatureScapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.